There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Praise the Lord, everyone, and good morning. On this beautiful Wednesday, this is Evangelist Roxy Williams, and I welcome you to the Morning Motivation Broadcast. This is where we start your day off right with hot breakfast for your soul, Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. Eastern, and it's all within 15 minutes so you can get to work. Each day, we tackle a new topic. And I assign a new task at the end of the broadcast so that we can empower your daily life by tackling everyday issues with biblical perspective. So our topic for this morning is When Love Gives You a Headache, Part 3, the finale. Throughout this week, say we've been dealing with the flip side of love, if you will, that very hard, uncomfortable side. So on Monday, we focused on When Love Gives You a Headache, Part 1. In other words, we dealt with the fact that offenses will come from those you love. And on yesterday, we dealt with Part 2, which was that you must deal with the offense. Whether you want to or not, you have to deal with the headache. And I talked with you about how you deal with the headache in a raw, authentic manner while still remaining in alignment with the word. If you missed any of those broadcasts, please go back to listen to them on the website, and that's feelthefire.com. F-E-E-L, letter D, fire.com. Well, today we're going to wrap this up on how you move forward after you've dealt with the headache. And throughout these 3 days, we've been in the same scripture, which is 2 Samuel chapter 12. And we're going to wrap it up today with verses 19 through 25. So while you're getting your word ready, I remind everyone that you can learn more about me, the ministry, access my law office site, everything that you need from my ministry website, and that's feelthefire.com, E-E-L, letter D, fire.com. Well, by now, you should have the word ready. I'm very excited about this broadcast this week. It has been cathartic, a release and even teaching for me. So let's go to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 12, verses 19 through 25. And I am reading from the KJV. But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David, we're talking about King David, said unto his servants, is the child dead? He's talking about his child. And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said the servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive. But when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But now he is dead. So wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. In other words, when he passes away. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her, and lay with her. And she had a son, and he called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, And he called the name Jedidiah, the cause of the Lord. Now, when we first started this scripture, I started from the first chapter, first verse in chapter 12 of 2 Samuel. And we talked about how David was king and he had been anointed by the Lord, but he gave the Lord a headache because instead of staying within the purpose of God and all that God had for him and had ordained for him, David chose to go out and take another man's wife. He saw Bathsheba and he wanted her. So what he did is he put her husband, Uriah, on the front line in battle so that Uriah could die. The Lord then sent Nathan the prophet to David to reprimand David for that situation. And he had said to David, if you wanted anything, whatever you needed, if you wanted more, I would have given it to you because I've already anointed you. I've already given you what you asked for, what you thought you could receive and even more. But because you then chose to step out of alignment with my will, you have publicly mocked my name, publicly blasphemed me, publicly disrespected me. You have given me a headache. So we focused on Monday how the offense comes from those you love. When you have appreciated them, bent over backward for them, you know, sacrificed, whether it's your spouse, your children, your friends, on your job, it could be your siblings, your parents, whomever it may be. It could even be yourself not appreciating what God has done or not really loving what God has given unto you. And so we talked about the fact that the offense will come, and when it comes, it gives you a headache. So we talked about that the headache may be a petty headache, you know, a small one where you can laugh it off, or it may be a migraine, which really requires you to have to deal with it, because if you don't resolve a migraine, it only gets worse. Or even worse, it may be what people call a stroke headache. You know, that kind of headache where if you don't immediately stop focusing on it and turn off all the lights, the stimuli, you put a cold compress on, you take something for it, and you lie down, you might end up having a stroke. That kind of high blood pressure related kind of headache. Then on yesterday, we continued in 2 Samuel about the fact that you must deal with the headache. And so what the Lord had Nathan tell David is that due to his sin, his son would die. He wasn't going to kill David, but his son sadly suffered the consequence of that. So on yesterday, I said, you must deal with the headache. You cannot allow the fact that you are a Christian to suppress the need to deal with situations, because sometimes we operate under this false narrative that Christians are not to have any emotions but happy and joy, that we never feel anger, we're never upset, we never feel disrespected, and that infects our marriages, it infects our other relationships to where we become bitter, antagonistic people, staying in a marriage where we can't even communicate because we're afraid to express our feelings because somehow we feel like that is a negative reflection on us as a Christian. So I gave you examples of how when Jesus was angry, he whipped the money changers out of the temple. I gave you an example of how when Jesus was hurt, he wept when Lazarus died, despite knowing he would raise him, to show us that as humans, it is okay to have raw emotion. There is such thing as a righteous anger. There are times when you have to fight. There are times when you are hurt. And that forgiving someone doesn't just cover that. Forgiveness removes the spiritual punishment, but not the natural. And I showed you that in that word we read in 2 Samuel, where the Lord, David said, I repent, and the Lord forgave him. But the natural consequence of David's sin was that his son was going to die. So don't confuse forgiveness with God having grace and mercy. Forgiveness means the spiritual consequence has been moved away. So now I accept your apology. I wish you no ill will, but it does not require me to have to go back into ongoing fellowship with you. That's grace and mercy. So I said you must deal with it. Now today we're focusing on, after you've dealt with it, how you have to move forward. Look at what we saw in this word today. David, while the Lord was dealing with him for giving him a headache, he was fasting and praying. He was trying to get back into right alignment with the Lord, hoping that maybe the Lord would have grace and mercy on his son and not allow his son to die. But in today's word, what we saw is that his son did pass away. But what did you see after David's son passed away? You didn't see him continuing to cry and to fast and to pray, even to the point where his servants were astounded. They said, well, wait a minute. While your son was living, you were crying, fasting, praying. Now we've told you he's dead. You're up washing your face, putting on your clean clothing. you're happy. Why would you be happy, and why would you stop fasting and praying now that he has passed away? And what did David say? He said, because the situation has been dealt with. There's nothing else I can do now to unring the bell of that situation. I can't put, you know, the spilled milk back into the bottle or to put the toothpaste back into the tube. So I have been dealt with for my transgression and given the Lord a headache. Now that the penance is over or the punishment is over, I can now move forward in a renewed spirit of receiving what the Lord has for me, appreciating more what the Lord has for me, loving more what the Lord has for me, because I messed up, but I guarantee you I'll never go back to that mess up again. So then he went in to his wife, and they had a son, and look at what the word said. The Lord loved that son, who was Solomon. But in order for the Lord to love the son, in order for the Lord to love David again the way he used to, he had to deal with the offense or the headache. So I'm saying to you that there are people in your life whom have offended you greatly, whom have offended me greatly, whom I have offended greatly, and whom you have offended greatly. I know we don't like to deal with that because we always sometimes like to have that, and always sometimes, that's an oxymoron, but we like to have that victim mentality. Oh, Lord, send it back on them 100-fold for what they did for me. Oh, karma's going to get you. Don't worry, you reap what you sow. Well, do you want karma to get you? Do I want karma to get me? Do you want to reap what you've sown because you hadn't been good all your life? Do I really want to reap what I've sown? Because although I'm generally a good person, and the people who know me and have known me my whole life would say I'm a good person. The point is, I'm not a perfect person. I've sinned. I've done wrong. Do I really want to reap everything I've sown? Of course not. I want God to have some grace and mercy. So when you have decided to move forward from a situation, move forward, just as you saw David did. In your marriage, either you and your spouse are going to fix that marriage if it's in a bad shape and move forward and stay together, or you're not, and you're going to get divorced. No, I'm not advocating divorce. I'm just telling you it's only two roads there. So if you did what I told you to do on yesterday and you dealt with the situation, and I even said that that may include therapy or counseling, or just saying we need to schedule a time where we can really sit down and talk about what has occurred here. How did we get to this point? Is it too much work? Is it too many activities for our children? How did we get to the point where we as husband and wife, or we as boyfriend and girlfriend, or we as engaged, or knowing that we're purpose for one another, didn't matter to each other anymore? Where everyone else took precedence. The job took precedence. The kids' activities took precedence. Watching TV, hanging out with the friends to Christmas. How did we get here? You're supposed to deal with that on yesterday, on, you know, getting all of that in motion. So today you have to make a decision. If we're going to stay together, then we're going to fight for our marriage. We're going to fight for our relationship. We're going to forgive each other and have grace on one another. Because forgiveness removed the spiritual consequence. But now we've chosen to remain in ongoing fellowship as husband and wife or boyfriend and girlfriend, or we're getting married, and we've chosen that we're going to fight for this. So fight for it. Set the appropriate boundaries. Put everyone else as subjugated to your spouse. In other words, they're the priority. You and your spouse are the priority. Everyone else comes second. Going to church 20,000 times a week comes second. If you can't even spend time with your spouse at home, quality time, doing some things that each of you love to do. Work it out with your children. You can't send them anywhere. They're going to be there. So either you make a decision that, hey, we're going to get this together, what's going on here, or we're not. Now, in some of these situations are moving forward, you will be able to reconcile because it's worth it. The person's worth it. Their love is worth it. The relationship is worth it. What God has ordained for the two of you is so, so worth it. And you can see what David did. David did. He reconciled, went in there to his wife, and when they reconciled and he had gone through that punishment, look at what happened. They were then able to move forward in a great relationship of having a son whom God loved. But in other situations, you may have to decide that the appropriate boundary is no contact. And sometimes that does happen. It may be friends or, you know, people, even sometimes family members. Maybe they have addictions or maybe they're liars or maybe they're gossipers or every time they come around, they cause confusion. And you have to understand that God is not the author of confusion and God doesn't require you to live in confusion. Or as a powerful person says in my life, you know, God doesn't require you to let people take you out of rest. And I love that, to take you out of rest, not just your peace, but out of your rest, which is a state of being in rest. And you're in rest because of the assurance that you're in alignment with the Lord's will. So sometimes what you got to do to move forward is to cut off all contact. That may be temporary or that may be permanent. You know, I have this one friend who always causes dissension. So I had to say the other day, you know what, I just can't talk to you anymore. I just can't because this has happened multiple times. And, you know, it vexes my spirit. And to that friend, it's a joke to do those kinds of things, and I just said no more. Now, maybe later down the road, we can talk again, but I said you're taking me out of my rest, and you do this almost every time we're on the phone, and this is not whom God has ordained for me to be because that person is in a sad state, so, you know, emotionally right now. So I've stayed with trying to be the friend and encouraging until I just said I can't do this anymore, and it's not like a suicidal for everybody who said, oh, be there, Rossi. It's not that. It's just this is the person's dysfunction. But I still pray for the friend. So even sometimes when you have to impose a boundary of cutting off contact temporarily or permanently, you should always still remain in prayer because God is able to repair the person's heart, mind, life, whatever it is. And then maybe your friendship can be restored. Your family can be restored. But you always have to make sure that in making a decision that you're able to still live in the rest and the purpose of the Lord. All right, let's get ready and go into prayer this morning. I mean, it's only 15 minutes, but I tell you, this has been great in relation to the flip side of love, when love gives you a headache. Let's go into prayer. Begin to praise the Lord wherever you are this morning. Dear Lord, we just thank you because I'm running out of time, Lord, but I just have to give you praise this morning. For everyone who's tuned in into this broadcast, Lord, I just come in agreement with them right now that this teaching this week has come in and done a new thing in their lives, not to bind them, Lord, not to restrain them, but actually to liberate them, to know how to love, to know how to receive love, how to give love, to understand, Father, that love is not just an emotion, but love is a true fact, so that sometimes the love and the relationship will be good, Lord, and other times it may be giving us a headache, Father, but that when the person is worth it, when it's our spouse, they're worth it, when it's our children, they're worth it, when it's someone we're supposed to be married to, they're worth it, when it's our great friends that are divinely placed in our lives, they're worth it, Lord. Help us not to be bitter. Help us not to be angry. Help us not to walk around pointing at everyone else wanting their karma on them when we have not been perfect. But rather help us to do what David did, to understand that we had to go through the punishment for our sin. But that once it's over, we move forward, Lord. Hallelujah. And that we move forward with joy and goodness and happiness, that we make a decision that we are covering that other person, Lord, that we are just going to protect our marriage. We're going to protect our relationship. We're going to protect our children. We're going to protect those divine friendships. We're going to protect our own joy. We're going to protect our happiness. We're going to protect our ministry. We're going to protect our finances. We're going to protect our rest. And, Lord, you've given us the power to do that in the name of Jesus. So help us not to be the person giving those we love a headache and help us to deal with the headache and then to move forward and enjoy the Lord. Come on and praise the Lord. Just begin to tell the Lord, Lord, I thank you. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that we're moving forward. Come on and just speak it into the atmosphere. Lord, I praise you. No one can hear you because the lines are muted. Say, Lord, I praise you that we're moving forward. Just call out the name or the names of whomever it is that you love and that you want to move forward with, and maybe you've offended. And just call out their name. Say, Lord, I thank you that we're moving forward. Woo, begin to magnify the Lord. Lord, I thank you that we're loving each other again. Come on and just speak this out, the power of life and death. Rest in your tongue. Speak it into the atmosphere. Lord, I love my spouse. Even if you're not married yet, you believe in God for one. Come on and speak it. Lord, I love my spouse. Say, Lord, I'm in love with my spouse. Woo, glory. Say, Lord, I'm in love with my children. Come on. Lord, I'm in love with my family. This ought to be doing something, breaking chains in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. For those of you listening who are not saved or you're in a backslidden state, and if you found yourself in any of this word I was discussing, you're out of alignment with the Lord, come on, I want you to get back in alignment with Jesus. So give your life to the Lord. Just repeat after me, dear Lord, I come in Jesus' name. I ask the forgiveness of every sin. I ask you to come into my life and be my Savior. Now I confess that I am saved, or I confess that I am rededicated. In your name, I love you, Jesus. Amen. Come on and praise the Lord. Make sure you're going to church Bible study tonight if you have it tonight or whenever you have it. If you can't make it physically, go online to your church's Bible study if they have it. You got to get into the Word. And we run out of time, so announcements. Just please go to the website, feeldfire.com, F-E-E-L, letter D, fire.com. Make sure you listen to this week's prior broadcast if you missed it on When Love Gives You a Headache, Part 1, and When Love Gives You a Headache, Part 2. Today's broadcast will also be posted on our Morning Motivation page. Our task for today is for you to move forward by doing at least one act for that person or those persons that you called out their names to show that you love them. And it's got to start with telling them, I love you. I love you. And I want us to move forward. And then you need to do something for them, whether it's sing them a song, take them to dinner, cook a meal, watch TV together, send them a nice little note, whatever it is that you know that person loves. All right? I will see you in the morning. Tomorrow is Thursday. I'll see you at 6:30 a.m. Eastern. I love you. God bless you. Bye-bye. Break every chain.